Look, I appreciate all of you being here. I've got the misfortune of scheduling this the day after the ruling yesterday, so I want to start out by saying that I'm not going to make any comments about the litigation or offer up any opinions about that. I know you have questions about it, but it's really not my place to make comments about that. We've been hard at work preparing for the draft, and I want to commend all of our staff, including our college scouting director, Rick Reiprich, our area scouts, our coaches, our pro scouts, everyone who's had a hand in evaluating this draft class. And I think we've got a real good handle on this class and where we want to be in terms of drafting on Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday. So with that, I'll try to avoid answering any questions that you may have.
Mickey, I know you don't want to comment about the ruling, but as things stand right now, is it green light for you guys to negotiate with players, talk with players?
No, right now we're still under the rules that we've been in. I think the league's waiting for some decisions regarding the stays and the other litigation issues to get resolved in some direction. So we're waiting for direction from the league office in terms of doing anything differently than what we've been doing the last month and a half or whatever it's been. Nothing's really changed for us in that respect.
Well, how much do you feel like you're living almost minute by minute to see if something happens and then you may possibly have to go on?
Yeah, I don't feel that way. Look, we've been preparing for the draft now for a while, and I feel like that's business as usual. Given at this time of the year, if it had been a normal year, free agency would have been kind of wrapping up for us anyway in terms of that initial rush. And so I feel like this is pretty normal for us. I mean, we're in the cave, down here and kind of oblivious to the rest of the world, these last couple weeks.
You brought up a free agency. Normally, it would happen already. How different do you approach the draft considering free agency hasn't happened? Like, or say a player you think you're going to sign, do you go in there thinking maybe we have to place him with a draft pick, maybe we don't?
It's a good question and something that we struggled with early on. How do we approach it? And ultimately our decision is that we're going to approach it like the guys that we have on our team that are going to be free agents, that we're going to make an assumption that we're going to get them re-signed. And so that's really the way that I think we're going to approach this draft. I think it's the best thing for us. We always try to get to this point without a glaring need so that we can draft the best player for our team, best player that's available to us. And so even though the different aspects of free agency and draft are reversed this year, we're still going to approach it in the way that, hey, we're going to take the best player for our team that's available to us come Thursday night.
Mickey, with Malcolm Jenkins, we understand that he did come to the facility today. What transpired and what was your thinking to, I'm using the term to turn him away, that's probably not accurate, but what happened during
that? Yeah, we didn't turn him away. He came and picked up his mail and I visited with him for a few minutes. He wanted to know what he could and couldn't do, and our weight room's closed right now and until we get again some further direction from the league, and he was great.
Okay.
He picked up his mail and left.
Did any other players come by?
No other players came by.
Why can't they lift weights? I think I saw reports one team let their players lift weights. Is that your decision, team by team?
No, that's as I mentioned, we're in the same kind of direction that we've been for the last month and a half, and part of that was that players couldn't work out at the facility.
They certainly can't get playbooks.
No.
Mickey, I know there's always testing the waters with phone conversations, but has there any been more serious conversation with you with the first round pick this year than past?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think this week, just yesterday and today, we're starting to get some calls back and forth just with teams who are interested in either moving back or moving up. And so I think that heats up as we get closer to Thursday night. But we're just starting to get those calls and making those calls in terms of teams that might be interested in moving.
Do you see a lot more teams now with the free agency, a lot more trading and moving?
Yeah, you know, I've been asked that a couple times, and I don't know the answer, number one. My sense is I think it'll be pretty much business as usual. Now, I think the thing that may cause some more movement is just the fact that, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that look like they're going to get taken early, first and second rounds, and a number of teams that may want to, get those quarterbacks. And so I think that may cause more movement. I don't think it'll be more movement caused by, the timing of free agency versus the draft.
Adrian Claiborne has this Herb's palsy in his shoulder. Would that cause you to take him off your board, or do you think that'll hurt his draft status?
I don't know if it'll hurt his draft status. He's not off our board. He's on our board, and he's a good player. We've examined the issue. We've talked to our doctors about the issue, and obviously it's a concern for everyone. But he's not off our board.
Is this the most depth you've seen in defensive line at the top of the draft since you've been involved in doing this with the Saints?
Yeah, probably. I've been involved in a lot of years in the NFL, but there's a lot of good defensive linemen in this draft, so I'd say you're right.
Maybe a question to the Saints: is there any possibility of teams trading up more because there's a possibility of a rookie wage scale in this?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I think if we ever do have a wage scale, that will make those higher picks more valuable. Now, whether that causes more trades or not, I don't know, because if they're more valuable, it's going to cost more to move up. And so I don't know the answer to that ultimately, but I think it will impact movement at the top of the draft.
Mickey, unless I'm forgetting, you haven't traded down with the first round pick since you've been here. Is that coincidence year by year, or is that maybe show a philosophy that you like to either keep that pick or move up, which you've done?
No, I think it's just circumstance, Mike. In each year, when we've been able to pick, we've made attempts to trade down before, and it just didn't materialize. We didn't like the compensation that was available to us, and in each year we've had a player that we really liked, and maybe we didn't have an alternative if we moved down. So, but we have in the past made attempts to move down, it hasn't materialized.
And then, without naming any names, but in the last, I guess, 8 or 9 years that you've been heavily involved, how many times have you taken the player who had the highest grade? Just about every time, or have there been times where you've
It's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at each year. But I will say this: we've never taken a player that was significantly lower than the guys above them. There may be cases where the grades were close, but I know we haven't taken anyone that was graded significantly lower than a player above them.
Vicky, as of yesterday, I think, when the draft ended, it would have ended, and you couldn't then have a little undrafted free agent market that goes on. But now you can, right? Is that right? If things stay as they are right now, that would be...
I don't know the answer to that, Jim. But, I'm not that concerned about it, because obviously we know how to, approach that period after the draft, and if it's available to us, there's not a lot of extra preparation to get ready for that. We can handle that. Actually, it's actually one of my favorite times of the draft is pursuing undrafted free agents. And so if we're allowed to do that, then we'll be ready for it.
Is there any position you can say that you definitely are not drafting?
We're not going to draft a long snapper. Probably not going to draft a kicker or punter. But who knows?
So on these undrafted free agents, if you're not allowed to sign them, if you get a commitment from them, is that?
Say that again.
On these undrafted free agents, if you're not allowed to sign them, what do you say? Hey,
Can you give me a commitment?
Yeah, right now we're not allowed to do that, to even, you know, have contact with them after the draft. So we can't even say, hey, you know, we've got an opportunity for you. So, you know, under the rules that were going to be in place or are in place, you know, we just can't have any contact with those guys after the draft.
So unless the league tells you otherwise, that's it, right?
Yeah, until we get some resolution from the league.
Hey, Mickey, if
I'm going to retract my comment about the long snapper. We might draft one.
Any names?
No.
In light of tomorrow's rulings that are supposed to come down at least by 5 Central time, what will that do to your guys' plans? I mean, must you make another plan of attack or approach to the draft?
No. You
know, because of if it opens it up to free agency, if it opens it up to player trades, if it opens it up to all of that stuff,
no.
Does that affect you guys at all?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I just don't. You know, the preparation for the draft and the things that go into making your selection, you know, that just, I don't view that as having been changed significantly, if at all. And so, you know, there's things like the undrafted free agents that are a little different, but everything up to and including the selections, I just don't think it's been much difference.
You mentioned that you were going to go in with the assumption that you're unselling free agents right now, that you're going to sign.
Yes.
Wouldn't you expect there to be kind of a flurry of activity right now when this window opens up right before the draft to get that done so you can have all those questions answered before Thursday night?
Well, there's just more to it, Jim, than that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Are you guys working feverishly to get some of that done before Thursday night?
No, we're not available. We're not able to do that right now. We're waiting for direction from the league as to what we can and cannot do. And right now, you know, we're not able to do that.
So the ruling yesterday only means that they can come here.
Well, I don't know what that means. That's a question for the league office. It's not for me.
Mickey, have y'all heard specifically from the league saying don't change anything until we go through the course?
Well, you know, again, we're waiting. Well, here's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for a direction from the league as to what we can do differently than what's been done the last 45 days, and we don't have that yet. So.
Did they send out anything in the wake of yesterday?
Well, we've had some conversations. Let's leave it at that.
Is it fair to say that if NFLPA got a favorable ruling and there was free agency during the draft, that you would welcome that, even though it's more?
Well, you know, again, you're asking me to make comments about the litigation. I'm not going to do that or offer up any opinion about that. We're just going to wait and see what happens.
Not the litigation.
Yeah.
Mickey, so a lot of the mock drafts have you taken a front seven guy. Are obviously different names they put up there. Is that at least a good assumption that most? That you're going to be taking a front seven guy on defense?
Well, I think that's an assumption that a lot of media guys are making, along with their assumptions about, you know, mock drafts and who's a good player and who's not a good player. And, you know, we're not going to really offer up any information as to who we might or might not take.
But on NFL Radio this morning, you said that was possibly your biggest need was the front seven.
I said that's what most people would say is our biggest need.
Okay, what's your feeling about picking running backs high? I mean, given your track record of getting good value, the little lore of the draft on running backs.
Well, you know, again, I think it's a question of you know, who's your best graded player at the time, and if you have a bunch of players that are graded equally, then you decide, hey, this is the best position for us at this time. But look, if the running back is the best graded player at the time we're selecting. You know, that might be the position, just as it might be, you know, a tackle or a guard or a wide receiver, for that matter. You know, a few years back, you know, Deuce McAllister was the top graded player on our board at a time when we had a pretty good running back on the team, and New Orleans Saints selected Deuce McAllister, and I think that worked out pretty well. So,
does the position affect the grade? So, I mean, you have like these grades for all the players.
No. No, it doesn't.
Mickey, would you like to address quarterback in this draft?
Quarterback?
Yeah, the position of quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like we have a burning need at quarterback, if that's what you're asking me. I feel pretty good about Drew Brees. I think he's a good player.
Well, I mean,
in case you were wondering.
I mean, yeah.
And look, we like Chase Daniel. We like everything that he's done for us to date, and obviously he hasn't had the opportunity to play under fire in the regular season very much, but we like what we've seen so far, and we have Sean Canfield, who, you know, we like his skills. You know, we've got to see more, obviously, but I like that position on our team.
Before the CBA expired, you guys re-signed a couple players. How close were you maybe re-signing others, and were there negotiations with several others since there's so many free agents?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've had discussions. I would, and some offers. Mm-hmm. With a few other players. I don't know that they were close or not close. You kind of, you know, I get that, asked that question a lot, and I really don't know if we're close or not close until the guy says, hey, we got a deal. Will you do this one more thing? And most time it's no, but so I don't know how to answer whether we're close or not. I can only tell you that, yeah, we've had discussions. We had discussions. We don't have discussions now. We had discussions before the end of the league year with a couple guys, and it just didn't work out.
So there was a pretty good emphasis that you wanted to tie in some guys before this, knowing possibly that CBA could last longer.
Yeah, I don't think that had a lot to do with it. It was more just, look, these are players that we'd like to, you know, have on our team, and players that wanted to remain with the New Orleans Saints, and so you know, we made an effort, and it wasn't quite good enough, and that's fine. Look, that's fine. It doesn't preclude us from signing them later when we're able to, but it is what it is.
On the quarterback thing, you know, there's been some talk that the Colts might be looking to get a guy that they would groom as Manning's replacement. Just in general, the philosophy was, like, what are the tipping points for that? Is it the player you have now and where he stands? Is it the prospect and the chance that you could get this great guy, and do you talk to the guy on your team about that before you make the pick?
Well, you know, we're not at that point yet,
well,
I would say, and so it's a good question. I don't know that I can answer all of that. Obviously it has to do with the age of your player, you know, the contract status, how you feel about the guys behind that player. And so, look, there's a lot of variables. Who's available? Sometimes there's a player available that you just don't expect, that you think a lot of, and so there's a lot of variables with that.
Making one more decision, right?
But you know, when you have a really good quarterback, and we do, you have a window of opportunity for your team, and so you want to maximize that your chances during that window of opportunity. And generally a quarterback's not going to play if you have a franchise quarterback on your roster, so you're looking for players that probably can contribute a little sooner than what that quarterback's going to contribute to your team. And so, you know, we'll be in that position eventually, but I don't see us being in that position today.
Mickey, would you say that 2006 was the best draft you guys have ever had? Is that the kind of the prime example of how a draft can make a team great?
I don't know if that was the best draft. It was a good one for us, I don't know how to answer that. I think that's left for others to determine whether they think it's our best draft or not our best draft. And certainly there's been a lot of drafts I wasn't here for. But we got a number of good players out of that draft and guys that are still with us. So I will say this. Since, 2006, with this staff, this group of scouts that we have and coaches, yeah, I felt really good about the process and the success that we've had in the draft, and we've got a lot of confidence in our operation relative to the draft.
I saw somebody did a study, and I think it went back 5 years, but maybe it was 10, where they rated the Packers first and you guys second with draft success. And obviously that's so tough to judge, but would you feel, that you're as happy with your own self-evaluation of your drafts as some outside would say?
No, not for second. No, look, that's somebody's subjective.
Successful grade. You always say you got to go back and look 3 years or 5 years to say get a good draft or not. You guys have given yourself good approval ratings over.
Yeah, you know, I think we're always self-critical. You know, you don't think about the successes as much as you think about your failures, and so it's like you know, we might have, you know, 7 picks in a draft, and 6 of them might be great, but the one you didn't get, you know, that's the one you dwell on, and those are the ones I dwell on. So, you know, as far as somebody grading us, that's, you know, that's somebody's subjective view. But you know, I'm pleased with our staff and the way that we approach the draft, and you know, one of the things I'm proud of is the involvement that our coaches have, and they get invested in the decision and these picks, and they've done a great job developing young players, and so I think we've got a good process here.
Where are you now as far as putting your board together? I mean, when did that board first start to take shape? Where you actually put all the positions together on it and rated them 1 through?
Yeah, that's just happened recently at the end of the last couple weeks, you know, now it's just a little bit of fine tuning, and you know, it's our area scouts and our college scouting director, and the rest of us are participating in. So I would say by tonight, you know, it'll be locked and loaded.
Yeah, I know it's tough to speculate on the, you know, what's going to happen in the league, but following the draft, I know you have minicamp right after. If that's not possible, how much contact will you be able to instruct the rookies, the guys you just drafted, anything with any kind of workout or anything at all?
Well, you know, again, that's just part of, you know, the direction we're looking for from the league, and they'll let us know what we can and can't do, and we'll adjust accordingly. You know, I think, you know, one thing with our team is we got a veteran team with great leadership, and so I kind of feel like we'll be able to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever rules end up being in place, and however, you know, if you know, it takes us a while before we get them, then we'll adapt to that. And if we get them in here right away, we know how to you know, get our guys acclimated in a quick fashion.
Will you be able to give them any kind of workouts at all?
You know, no. I mean, right now, again, we're working with the rules that we've been under the last 45 days. So
before you got your directive from the league to wait for another direction, in the 6, 12, 18 hours from the ruling last night, were you in contact with Drew Brees, John Stinchcomb?
No, I was sleeping.
Was the team in contact with
No,
those?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I know you have a pick in the first, one in the second, two in the third, and then you don't pick again until the seventh round. Do you look at the board and say, that's too big of a gap, we'd like to have some picks there in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round, or do you just say it is what it is and we're fine having a lot early in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, look, I think you'd always, just because of the work that's involved in preparing for the draft, you'd always like to have a pick in every round. And there's always, you know, you're sitting there, and when you don't have a pick in a round, and there's a bunch of guys that, gosh, we'd really like to have this guy or that guy. And so, you know, we've in the past have traded future picks to get back into a round. And so we'll just see how it plays out. But the answer to your question is, yeah, we'd love to have you know, picks in those rounds. But you know, we've used those picks, and you know, I think in most cases when we've used a future pick, it's turned out to be a good result for us. There's been one or two that haven't turned out to be a good result, but generally, I think we've made good moves in making those trades.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk in the media with these media drafts and whatnot about players rising and falling in the weeks before the draft, and particularly, you news sometimes comes out about certain players. Maybe, okay, we found out this guy had a positive drug test or something like that. I mean, so do things like that affect guys this late on your board?
Well, there can be some things that affect their position on the board, but you know, this rising and falling, I think is that's on these media boards. I don't think that they're on club boards so much. I mean, you might make an adjustment for a guy, but it's not going to be a dramatic adjustment, which is the way some of these you know, media experts portray it. And look, some of them are really good. They do, you know, they do their work, and I'm not trying to be critical of them. I'm just saying that in in practice, you know, we don't have guys that fall from the first round to the seventh round, or you know, go from the first round to the fourth round. That's rare. In fact, I can't think of one, to be honest with you, that's happened in the last 2 weeks before the draft.
Speaking of that, have you ever been shocked by something another team did when you saw one of their moves, and I guess talking amongst yourselves, say, I can't believe they picked him that earlier, I can't believe this person fell that far? I mean, how often are you surprised, not obviously what the media says, but watching it and following it when picks are made? How often have you been shocked in your...
Yeah, we've been surprised a few times, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. That might mean we're wrong. But yeah, there's been times where, you know, someone's taken a player that, you know, early that we, you know, had further down the draft, and but again, that doesn't mean that we're right or wrong.
I mean, how many all do when you assign a character grade on your board, what all goes into that? It could be grades, work ethic, is it drugs? I mean,
it's all of the above. It's everything that has to do with the makeup of that player, and it may be just, you know, something as simple as coachability. It may be something more like a positive test, you know, at the school, you know, a crime. It could be a lot of different things. You know, there's football character, and then there's, you know, the personal character, how they treat people, how they treat the trainers and the coaches, and so it can be made up of a lot of things that, you know, we're looking for the right kind of fit for our locker room. And so if a guy is a good teammate, then obviously that's positive with us. If a guy hasn't proven himself to be a good teammate, then that's a flag that we need to be aware of and consider before we take someone.
How hard is that? It sounds pretty subjective in a lot of cases. How hard is that for you all to gauge
the
difference?
You know, I don't know that it's that subjective, because, you know, our scouts do a great job of talking to a lot of people at the school about, you know, a particular player. And, you know, you can gather up a lot of information. We do the interviews. And so we'll ask guys direct questions, and you'll get information, you know, from those questions, just even how they you know, answer the question sometimes. So, look, we get it from a lot of sources. And I don't think it's as subjective as you might think. I think it's a lot of objective information.
Is there thresholds that you get that would take a player completely off your board?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are there thresholds you might reach where you say, this is an undraftable player?
Yes.
Even if he's a really good talent?
Yes.
How many players?
Jeff Duncan would be a guy that we'd have to take off our board.
How many players have first-round grades in this year's draft?
I haven't counted them. 32 at least, though.
Well, is it better or worse?
You know, I'd just be guessing. Like, I don't know the answer to that question. My perception is, and this is just perception, is that it's a little more top heavy than, but you know, that's relative to position too. So I don't even want to say that. I don't know the answer to that.
Was it accurate today that you were quoted saying that Mark Ingram has the highest grade of any running back on your board?
I did say that.
And so conflicting reports about his health that obviously haven't been concerned.
Well, I didn't make any comment about his health.
Oh, okay, but I mean,
and I'm not going to.
Right, but.
The question that I got asked on the radio interview was, you know, do you like Mark Ingram? And I said, yes, he's got the highest grade of, you know, any running back on our board. And I saw a couple of people now speculating we're taking Mark Ingram.
So. Is there a spot?
I expect that.
Is there a spot you'd be disappointed you wouldn't address in the draft?
No, I don't think so. Just because, look, we've got a limited number of picks, and right now, you know, maybe we trade and get more picks, but we're not going to fill every blank slot on our roster in the draft. We know that, and so, you know, you fill as many as you can with, you know, as good of players as you can, and again, you know, we're going to take the best player for us at the time we select. That may be a position where you wouldn't say we have a need. So I just got, you know, I got to see how that falls before I can really answer the question.
It's the highest